Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Nothing can prepare you for how it feels to drop off your child at the school gates in the morning and never see them alive again. These are the words that Mick North has written in response to the massacre of 19 students and two adults at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde in Texas on Tuesday. Mick's five-year-old daughter Sophie was one of the victims of the Dunblane Primary School massacre in March of 1996, and Mick is a fervent campaigner for gun control and a founding member of the Gun Control Network. He joins me now. Good evening to you, Mick.
Good evening.
And thank you. There's so much to talk to you about. But first of all, would it be okay if I asked you a little bit about Sophie?
Yes, of course. I'm a biased dad, was then, still am. So I'm going to say she was clever, great company, lovely to be with, a smashing little girl.
That day, that awful day, March 13th, 1996, can you tell me what happened or how you learned of what happened?
I was at work. I was an academic at the University of Stirling, and somebody came to my door mid-morning, said there were rumours that there had been a shooting at a school in Dunblane. I mean, no one was quite sure which school, no one was quite sure how serious it was. And then more and more people seemed to be picking up on these rumours. And so some of us with children in the primary school, I think by then we realised it was the primary school, went to Dunblane. And as soon as we got to the town, we knew that this was a major, major incident. There were police roadblocks. There were emergency vehicles everywhere, and lots of press by then. I mean, they'd even got there before we, the parents, were there. And then we had to wait a long, long time. The incident happened at 9:30 in the morning. I didn't find out till 2:45 in the afternoon that Sophie was among the children who had died. So it was an agonizing wait, knowing that something very serious had happened, but being unsure for a number of hours what exactly had happened to my child.
I can't imagine your horror, Mick. 26 years ago, it doesn't go away, I know. When you see what happened in Uvalde in Texas this week, what comes to your mind then? I mean, that horror must be there all over again.
It's there again, but unfortunately, because these things have now happened so often in America, I'm not immune to feeling emotional all over again. But it comes as no surprise. I'm still shocked that it happens. But it's no longer the surprise it was when the first of such events were reported from the US in the years following Dunblane. When Columbine happened, for example, I think everyone was totally surprised by that. Now, it happens far too often.
Afterwards in Dunblane, because we've been talking about this a lot on the programme throughout the week and hearing from people in Texas about guns, about mental health, about online, social media, about lots of different factors, but there was a clear recognition in Dunblane that the most significant factor in the tragedy was the ease in which the perpetrator had accessed guns. Wasn't that the case?
Yes. I mean, we didn't all jump to that conclusion immediately, but there was a feeling, certainly amongst the families and amongst many others, that if the perpetrator hadn't had his weapon, the massacre would not have carried out. And that is the common factor in all shootings. I mean, it seems obvious. The common factor is that the person has a gun. There may be other issues as well. Mental health is brought up rather a lot. But the prime factor that is common to all of these things is that the person has easily obtained a gun.
And you and other families then in time came together to campaign to have handguns banned.
Yes. Again, this was a gradual step-by-step process. It wasn't a question of one person standing up and saying, we've all got to back a campaign to bang up. People came to it at different times. But eventually, and I think this was one of the big pluses of the campaign, most of the families got involved in the campaigning, and all the families were supportive of getting legislative changes. We were obviously doing things in parallel with other groups, particularly the Snowdrop campaign, and then with Gun Control Network, which I helped to found. And it was a successful campaign. Successive governments in the UK passed legislation to ban the private ownership of handguns.
With cross-party political support in the UK, rather than the polarisation, I suppose, that we see and we've talked about on gun ownership in America.
Yes, I mean, there were some differences, and there are people on the right of the Conservative Party, and still are, who hold the view that you don't start prohibiting weapons. But yes, there was enough consensus, and I think our campaign helped push it further. Labour wanted to go further than the Conservatives, but a combination of the two governments, there was a change of government in 97, ensured that the complete handgun ban happened. And there is no polarisation to the extent that there is in the States.
You wrote in the piece I read in The Guardian, Mick, the British experience proves that gun control does work, but this is a lesson that Americans seem reluctant to learn.
Yes, I always thought when we'd achieved what we had here, and when journalists started asking me what did I think about this event in America, that once they became aware of what we had done in Britain, we collectively, from the people through to the government, that they would rush to pass legislation themselves to try and tighten up on gun control. But it never happened. There were attempts made by some of the administrations, but not all. In many ways, things seem to have gone backwards rather than forwards. Sadly, events like the one this week often lead to a boom in gun sales. There is a notion for which there is no evidence that collectively more guns protects a population, but it's just not true. International comparisons show more guns, more gun deaths.
And yet we heard about some leaders in America saying more guns in schools rather than less guns. You talk about the figures, deaths due to gun violence total more than 17,000 so far this year alone. You talk about in 2020, 999 children under 11 were killed or injured in shootings in the US. The figures are there. Do you think anything will change after Uvalde? Because sadly, as well, you write that, and I know you hear these questions like I'm asking you now too often. Will this change? We heard from Texas earlier on in the National Rifle Association conference in Houston this evening, and the view of the correspondent I spoke to in Texas there was no, nothing will change. What about you, Mick?
I feel exactly the same. I wish I could be more optimistic. I think I did see a glimmer of hope after the Sandy Hook shootings in 2012, because President Obama and Vice President Biden wanted to do something, but they came across the usual problems with Senate and politicians, many of them who have funding from the National Rifle Association, mm-hmm. aren't willing to contemplate any significant changes. And as I say, in some cases, it feels that the laws have got far more lax, and there are just more and more guns. And I keep repeating this, more guns means more deaths. The Americans have to stand back from all of this and look at what other countries are doing. There is this reluctance to do it the way other countries do it. Americans take a pride on doing things their way. But this is a major health problem. It's a scandal. And they really need to be looking at other countries and realizing that no matter what their love of guns is, these are causing a thousands upon thousands of deaths per year.
Well, you and other parents in Dunblane made significant changes in the UK for the better of everybody there, I think. And I hope that gives you some comfort when you think of Sophie today and indeed her late mother as well. Thank you very much for joining me on Drive Time this evening.
Yes, thank you.
Mick, all the very best to you. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Mick North. Back very shortly.